Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. I'm Julia Cannon, and tonight is July 8th, 2016. And I have been off for a few weeks, recouping from the, we had several classes that we just did in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, and we'll be doing some more here in a few weeks in Eureka Springs again. We'll be doing level three and level two, I believe it is, or I actually don't know. So if you want to look, we have a few classes, different classes coming up. So it'd be best to look on the website, qhhtofficial.com or dolorescannon.com, and check out what classes we have coming up. And the reason I don't know, I don't mean to sound so disorganized, is because we were actually coordinating a lot of different classes around the world today. So to know exactly what I have coming up when, I get confused. So, but I do know we have some classes coming up next month. So if you're interested in the QHHT classes, then check them out. So on those websites. So if you are interested in calling in tonight with questions for our special guest tonight, the toll-free number to call in is 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. And if you call in, please make your questions for our guest tonight and her material. And I am so excited to have our guest. She has been on before, but she has written another book. And I want you to know, I guess I'll kind of preface this a little bit. As I was preparing just a little while ago, getting everything kind of in order and preparing, the most beautiful love came in. Oh, I'm going to start crying right now. Ah, goodness. Because that's the kind of love that is here, and the kind of love that, and I know our guest knows all about this. That's just what this is. It's this angelic love, and it just came in, and my heart was just so full. And so I know that, you know, they're always here, and they're always with us, and how beautiful this always is, and how on earth am I going to do a show if I'm crying? My goodness. Okay. anyway, our guest tonight is Janie Wells, and I'm so excited to have you, Janie. What I want everyone to understand is, you know, it's your special story is, you know, how you, that's what I want you to do, is tell your story, first of all, is because it's so beautiful, which you wouldn't think it would be, you know, and that's what I've always loved, exactly, because it was such a, it, you know, where it comes from and what happens, but that's how they go, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then here we go, coming on, you know, because the first book was Payment for Passage, and what happened there, and then it comes in and brings you into where we are now, and the next book is Embracing the Human Journey, with an angel as your guide. And what's so gorgeous is the angel that your guide is your daughter. And oh my God, and she, oh shoot.
Well, you know, I can see your mother and my daughter sitting up there eating popcorn, holding hands, really enjoying this show. You know, angels love to know they're still touching people.
Yeah, well, I guess they wanted to touch with a great big finger right now, because I'm like, that's what I meant by my heart was just overflowing, and it was just, and then, you know, this flood of love just came in, and then, oh my goodness. So, whew.
Well, Joan, you know, I know your mom was this way too, because I worked with her a little bit and spoke with her, and so glad that my first book came in while she was still here on Earth,
mm-hmm.
because she was such a marvelous person, and what she did, as much as anything, when she called me that day and she said, Janie, and she introduced herself, and she said, I'm very interested in publishing your book. And I was like you. I started crying and whatever. I don't know. I guess she wondered if I fainted or she didn't know what my response was. But that was an answer to what I had been wanting to know for several years. Is love more powerful than evil?
Oh.
And with the publishing of this book about Joanne, I know it is.
Yeah.
The man that murdered her is in a solitary cell on federal death row.
Mm-hmm.
And Joanne is still being talked about and helping and loving and mm-hmm. touching even more people than she did when she was here.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like your mom. And so here we go, mom and daughter. watching us.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to tell you this. I'll tell my story to the listeners in just a moment, because they're probably wondering what in the dickens we're talking about. But you have really watched me grow up spiritually from ground zero. You know, when Joanne was killed, I found myself in a sea of that I'd never been in and had to learn to swim before. And all I could do was try to keep my head above water and try to learn to swim in that, because there was my life was full of pain and fear and nightmares and depression and then also miracles. Love, angelic interventions, the U.S. justice system, and evil. I'd never been on a path for evil before. And this was all new to me, because my family and I have always been one of very spiritual, not religious, and I'll explain that, but very spiritual and wanting to leave the world a better place. And I know when we were sitting on... When I was told that, all right, let me go ahead and tell the story, because I want everybody to know. Joanne was 30 years old. She was a nurse practitioner in, she lived on Cherry Log Mountain in between Ellijay and Blue Ridge, Georgia. And she was such a wonderful doctor to many. It was an underserved community. So she delivered babies. She was the full doctor for most of the people, and she had a caseload of over 3,000 in just 2 years, and they just adored her. I would go up and visit her. She was either coming home just about every weekend, or I was going up there and visiting her, and I got to meet all her neighbors. I got to meet her friends and her patients, and so she was doing a fantastic job. Also, we both loved being out west and cowboys and Indians and cowboy boots and horses and all that kind of good stuff. And so she had planned in her mind that she wanted to build a wellness center somewhere out west. And she and I were going to build this together, and it was going to be to help with the healing of mentally and physically people that in need, that needed kind of a boost or support system to get back on their feet, and it was going to be free. She hadn't devised how that was going to happen yet, but it was going to be free to anybody that wanted to come. I think she was probably going to let them do some kind of work or chore or something to buy into their own recovery. there on the facility. But she had, I didn't know, she had kept several notebooks that she was already preparing with. She believed in angels greatly. I had my doubts, but she believed in angels, and she talked about them a lot. And in these two notebooks, she had her questions that she had asked her angels and the answers they had given her and the exercises, the spiritual exercises she wanted her clients to go through, and physical activities that would help, you know, develop their self-esteem and all of that. And so she already had this already kind of in place. Well, I got a phone call one evening, and someone said that Joanne and I had visited together the weekend before, and we'd planned to get together. We went on spiritual walks, and we call them our power walks, where we discussed everything that was going on in the world. She would be learning something pretty much close to what I was learning in two different. I was in Nashville and she was in Georgia. We seemed to kind of be on the same path, and we would get together and kind of share our notes. We never gave each other advice, but if she asked me for my experience or any kind of guidance in it, then I would certainly let her know that. And but that was all, and would leave her to find her own answers. And she did the same for me. And in embracing the human journey, that is the format. Okay, so anyway, I got a phone call one Sunday evening from a friend and said, Joanne and I were shopping in Chattanooga, and I was trying to get her on a cell phone, and I can't get her. Do you know if she's okay or where she is? And so I tried to get her, and, you know, it was a beautiful evening. She lived up around the Ocoee River, and she loved nature, so I figured maybe she was just kind of taking a walk or something before she came in and called me. But I couldn't reach her, and I couldn't reach her, and I began to panic. So about 2 hours later, I guess, after I kept trying, I called the police in her community and asked them to go check in her cabin. I called the highway patrol between Chattanooga and Blue Ridge to see if there had been an accident or a wreck. I called all the hospitals to see if someone had come in, and with no luck. And so about 2 hours into that, I was sitting in my den, and all of a sudden this warmth and total peace came over me, and I knew it was Joanne. And I just started screaming, God, no, God, this couldn't have happened, because I just felt like it was Joanne. And so that's when I called the police and told them that I wanted to come and get them to start looking for her in Chattanooga. And so they said if I would come and bring pictures of her and stay around the telephone, that they would start looking for her. So 1 o'clock in the morning, I drive to Chattanooga. Now, this is when there was phone booths and no cell phones. So I drive into Chattanooga, and in this dark area of town that didn't look really safe, I get out and get in this phone booth and call the police so that they can guide me into where their headquarters were. Mm-hmm. So I get in and I answered questions and did the best I could, and they said, well, now you're going to have to stay by a phone if we're going to go look for her. So someone let me follow them to a hotel there in the Chattanooga area so that I could be next to a phone, since there were no cell phones. So finally that morning I called her office and I said, has Joanne come in to work? And they said no, and we're really concerned because she's never late. So I asked one of them, I said, well, the police and friends have looked at her cabin and nothing seems to be wrong. Could somebody go in her cabin? And one of the her nurses had a key. So about 30 minutes later, I get a phone call and said, I'm in this hotel by myself, and said, Janie, we found Joanne, and she's deceased. And I can't even tell you what happened then. I just remember falling to my knees and saying, no, that couldn't happen. So I said, where is she? And they said, well, she's in her cabin. And it didn't dawn on me at that point. I thought maybe she'd had a heart attack or something. So I said, please don't do anything with her body until I get there. And so I went out in the parking lot, and I was just frantic. And this man walked up, and he said, can I help you? And what I didn't realize was that was my first angelic intervention. Because I told him I needed to go. I didn't know where I was in Chattanooga, and I needed to get on the interstate toward the Ocoee. Mm-hmm. And so he said, okay. He said, you get in your car, and you follow me, and I'll take you to the Ocoee River. So he did. An hour later, we reached the Ocoee, and I looked back to wave goodbye, and he wasn't there. There was no car behind me, so or in front of me. I thought maybe he'd gotten behind me because I didn't see him in front of me, but there was no. He was not to be seen. So anyway, I got to the cabin, and I remember thinking, I mean, time meant nothing to me at that point. I totally lost. My mind was just a blank slate. I couldn't think. I'm surprised I remembered how to get to her cabin. And I remember at that point knowing that I had lost all faith in anything. Mm-hmm. Because I kept screaming, Joanne, you got to help me. You got to help me through this, instead of dear God. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, Joanne was my only hope. So anyway, they got the man. He had been in prison for child molestation, statutory rape, armed burglary, and so forth, but he'd never killed anybody before. So when the crime scene was over, I just went totally blank, and I kind of remember thinking, nobody's going to know how wonderful she is. Nobody's going to know what a loving person she was and how special she was. And I can just remember thinking that over and over again. And then the only other thing that came to me was, I want her baby ring. I've got to have her baby ring. So when they they sent me to the hotel, told me they weren't going to take her body out for, it was a crime scene investigation, so I couldn't go near it. And they said that they weren't going to take her body out until the next day, and told me to go back to Chattanooga and get some rest. It was freezing on that mountain, and I didn't even have a coat. So I did, and found out that they had taken her out that night. They just didn't want me present, and I can understand that.
Sure.
So anyway, I wanted her baby ring. And then another thing was this woman from her office came up and said, Janie, Joanne took out an insurance policy, and you're the beneficiary. She took it out 2 months ago. Now, she did not know this man at all. She did not even know he existed. And she took that policy out the day he got out of prison.
Oh, wow.
So I think, you know, that brings me to my sense of, do we know, you know, when we're going to die or whatever. And I think, you know, she lived from her heart, and she trusted her angels, and she trusted, even if it didn't make sense to anybody else, she trusted what she wanted to do next.
Yeah, she probably had her guidance, yeah.
She definitely did. I mean, she was totally in touch with she was very wise, and she was an old soul. But so I think that's when she started making this plan for her life. because it was going to be the perfect guide for me later on to survive and to carry on her work, what she left behind.
Mm-hmm.
So I did everything I could to try to survive this, and I've got a son that I love very much. So trying to, for Joanne's sake, I wanted to represent who she was as long as I was alive. And I didn't want that to be a negative thing. So I wanted to write a book to keep her memory alive. And it just came to me one day, Payment for Passage. And that was going to be the title of it. My thought was that, at that time, my thought was everything we've got to pay and give up just to live this life. And what I realized when I finished the book is it's all the gifts and rewards we receive when we're on our journey here. And so that's how powerful that book was for me.
Mm-hmm.
In order to share her, I had to get back in touch with our shared spiritual beliefs and some kind of trust in a power greater than myself. So I started reading her journals that she kept, and in her journals, she truly relied on God and her angels, and so I used hers for a while. I borrowed Joanne's faith and her angels till I could find some of my own. And I knew that I wasn't ever going to get in touch with her if I didn't have love in my life again. And that was true because while I was writing the book, one morning she came to me in my bedroom before I went to work and scared me to death. I'd never heard her talk before. She'd had a lot of angelic interventions, but I'd never heard her voice. Mm-hmm. And we talked for like 30 minutes, and she explained to me why she died, and she explained to me that we were still journeying together just in a different way. And that, and I said, well, why have you come to me now? Why didn't you come sooner? You know, I needed you. And she said, because I couldn't come till you have love in your heart again. Until you love, you know, learn to love yourself. And she said, that's one major thing I want you to tell people, is that love's the only true connection between spirits, which is what you felt at the beginning of the show.
Absolutely.
A deep connection with your mom.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, someone asked me, and in that book, I started each chapter with something that she had in her journal, beautiful prayers that she had in her journal, and I started each one with that, and then I tried to stress or to share how that played out in our lives. And then by the time I got to the last chapter, and I would wake up every morning knowing what the chapter needed to be about. I think she talks to me in my sleep most of the time because I'm not resistant. You know, I've got my defenses down when I'm asleep. And so... anyway, she, chapter 8, after she came and talked to me, is when I began to have this belief system of my own again and felt fully connected and had learned how to take care of myself. And, you know, I grew up in a Mississippi Baptist church, and they, Lord have mercy. That and my southern drawl was hard to get rid of. I still ain't gotten rid of my southern drawl. but you know, in that church, if we wanted to dance, we would go to hell. And I love to dance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always worried about what hell was like, or, you know, God kept this list, and, you know, what did he do with this list? You know, how many X's did you have to get on it? And I don't know. It just, it's like a child only can, you know, comprehend what they can relate to.
Right.
And then one day, I was visiting my grandparents and went to church with them. Didn't enjoy it, but went to church with them. And this woman came up to me and she said, "You know, Janie, you remind me so much of your Aunt Charlie." And I said, "Oh, really?" Because I loved Aunt Charlie. And she said, "Yeah, she was the first woman in Mississippi to wear red shoes to church."
The rebellion.
And I said, "Okay, that's what I want to be." There's hope, you know.
Yes.
I've been informed by more than one psychic that Joanne and I are twin flames, sometimes referred to as twin souls. And mm-hmm. and what that is two halves of one soul that breaks off into two spirits to journey the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose is to learn and experience the world from different viewpoints. And, you know, I know that's true. She and I, right down to wearing the same size clothes. We went out, we were going to climb the Grand Tetons in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and it was close to her birthday and mine, so we decided to wait and get birthday gifts when we got there. So one morning, she took a few hours to go shopping, and I did too. And when we got together for lunch and unwrapped our gifts, we'd gotten each other the same exact pair of Teva sandals, same color and everything.
How funny.
And so that's the way our lives went. I've got no doubt that we are twin souls. And my psychic mentor and friend, Emma, told me one time, she said, "Joanne always comes to me and tells me to make sure you know that you always find each other." And, you know, and until Joanne's death, I gave a lot of talks at conferences and actually work with the U.S. justice system with defense lawyers who defend these hardened criminals.
Mm-hmm.
But it's for them to understand what the victims' families have to go through so that they'll be more humane to them and take them into consideration. And so it's one conference in this, I said that I wouldn't be who I am spiritually today if it hadn't been for Joanne's death.
Mm-hmm.
And this man raised his hand and he said, "Well, is it worth it?" And I didn't know what to answer him. I had to think about that. And I'd had no concept of angels answering my call, especially my guardian angels, that was assigned to protect and guide me. And my theory of the heavenly realm was flat with just one entity hearing my prayers. And so I said, "Let me think about this. I want to tell you what's true in my heart. I don't want to make up anything." And that's kind of the way I live my life. When people ask me questions, well, anyway, I give the answer to that in my second book, Embracing the Human Journey. And I try to live my life from my heart and not my head so much. I know when I was writing Embracing the Human Journey, I had no intentions of writing another book. And then one morning I wake up, and it was like I'd almost written in my sleep, you know, "Mom, there's a second book. Wake up." So I started that, and I decided that the best thing for me to do would be to go to her two notebooks that she had kept. And, you know, it was her words, and it was a good beginning for me. And there were actually some exercises in it. And so I started the book out with that. And then she said, "Mom, we've got to tell people what's possible, and we're going to do it by me giving them a message. The reader's going to get a message from me, and learn what the human journey is like and about from my heavenly perspective. And then you're going to be able to share with them how you've taken that and how you've used it in your life by examples or analogies or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then leave it up to them to the truth that they find.
Right.
You know, we're not going to tell them what's right or wrong because everybody's on their same path.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, on their very own path. And so we're just going to kind of guide them a little bit as to what's possible.
Right.
And ask them questions they can answer and so forth. So, I started experiencing automatic writing. And when I would know what we're supposed to, you know, talk about in the next chapter, I'd go to her notebooks and just randomly pick something. And then I would do it. And that would be, the chapter would be me sharing my experience and the results of that in my life, and then asking the reader questions so that they could explore their own souls and take a journey closer and closer to who they really were.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to pause a minute and let you...
Well, I was going to ask you, okay, so when you hear Joanne, are you hearing her or is it coming through the automatic writing?
Both.
Okay.
Sometimes I hear her. All right, she communicates with me in several ways, okay. Either by interventions that I know could only come from her. Angels kind of, they keep their own. I found that she kept her own personality so that when she connected with me, I would recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they're, you know, so full of light and love and all of that, they still have their own personal ways of interacting on Earth. And I truly believe that so that, you know, we'll recognize them. But anyway, she, either through things like that or automatic writing, when I knew it was time for a next chapter, I just sit down and it was just... And pen and paper works better than the computer. For me, I don't know what it is about it, but it's more like you're more in touch with yourself and in life, and there's nothing in between you and what you're writing. You don't have to worry about the computer breaking or anything else. You know, it's constant until you end it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do that, and then some of her interventions, like I hear a voice. One day I had come home from work and I was going to cut the grass. So I was going to pull into my driveway, and it's kind of, my property's kind of on a slant. And so I opened the garage door and was going to pull the car in, but I decided that I would get the lawnmower out first. It would be easier. So I got out of the car and went to the back of the house, which is the basement, which is brick old blocks, and was getting ready to pull the lawnmower out, and all of a sudden I heard her scream, jump, and just screamed it. And I turned around, and I must not have put my Jeep in park because it was coming at me in full force.
Oh, my gosh.
And if I hadn't seen it, you know, cars are really quiet now. So if I hadn't seen it, turned around and seen it, it would have killed me in between me and that brick wall.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. I just lunged into some blankets I had on the floor, thank goodness. And so interventions like that. One time I had been reading about earth angels, and I just became enthralled with this book about earth angels. And so I said, Joanne, how in the world do angels... Us earthlings know when we're to be angelic with someone. How do we know when we're earth angels? And so later that day, I was going to a basketball game with a friend in Nashville, and before I picked her up, it was pouring down rain. A light came on in my Jeep, and I'd never seen it before. And it was buzzing, and it was a light, and so I pulled over. Was going to check it out. I wasn't sure what it was. And somebody knocked on my window, and it was this poor young man, soaking wet, and I rolled down the window, not all the way, but I rolled down the window, and he said, "Can you please help me? I just need $4.20." And I thought, well, that's strange. Most people, if they're, you know, what, that's pretty particular.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said he had, he was in town to visit a friend. He'd locked his keys in the car. His wallet was also in his car. The police wouldn't open it because he couldn't prove who he was. So he needed to take a bus back to Hendersonville to get his car keys and his, and then take the bus back so that he could call the police again and get the, and I thought, nobody in this world is going to make up a story like that.
Right.
So I rolled down the window and I gave him a $5 bill. The light went off and the sounds went off.
Oh, how funny. Yeah.
And so that's how she answers me sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
The baby ring, I mentioned having to have her baby ring.
Mm-hmm.
About a month after her death, I took that baby ring with some of her other jewelry to a jeweler, and I said, "Will you please make a gold nugget for me and put her baby ring in the center of it so I won't lose it, and put it on a nice chain?" And he said, "Okay." He said, "You know, give me about a week." So I walked in, and he was sitting on a stool, and he said, "Janie, I want you to sit down." And he said, "What story does this nugget tell?" What do you mean? And he said, "Well, I always pour out the gold, and I kind of shape the edges so it won't tear clothing or anything, but then I let the center of it shape the way it wants to." And he said, "As soon as I put that baby ring in the gold, it separated in the middle." And he turned it over, and it was a perfect heart.
Oh.
And so that's that's how she does it. You know? And one of my very favorite sayings that she has, and I'm going to look it up in the book because I don't have this memorized. Okay. When I experienced the automatic writing, she said, I said, "Joanne, I need help. I can't think of anything, any way to get it started. And so I just started writing under the title. It says, "Mom, just start typing with no reasoning, no judgment, and no expectations. If you write the book with faith and no plan of what the book will say, you will learn the meaning of your life. You will have all the meaning for yourself. If a company publishes your book and keeps my memory alive, that is wonderful. But the first intent of the book must be for your own healing. As your love for yourself grows during your healing, your truth will ripple into the lives of others in many ways. The book may be one of them." So that was the beginning of the first book. The second book, I became really confused about. I can understand to a certain extent some gurus that say, or some of us that believe that what we think, we are what we think. Mm-hmm. What we want dictates our, you know, our destiny, or our thoughts create the future. And I can totally understand that to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
But Joanne was pure love. You know, why was she brutally murdered? And so that sent me on a journey to find an answer. And that's the questions that kept coming up to me, and this is another way that she interacts with me. The questions that came up to me, and you saw that in the first of the second book, Embracing the Human Journey,
mm-hmm.
Do we create our soul's destiny with our own thoughts, fears, and perception, or are we prepared through these perceptions and thoughts for our soul's destiny? And I asked Joanne that question, and she took me on an excursion for an entire day going from one thought and one resource to another. And so she answered those questions on an expedition, you know, and she just took me down this angelic yellow brick road. and the magical journey, it began with an email from someone that she said, "What is your take on evil in the world, Janie?" And that started my expedition. And I remembered that Joanne, right before she died, she called me one day, and she was excited. She had recently read two books, Angel Therapy by Virtue and M. Scott Peck's People of the Lie, The Hope for Healing Human Evil.
Okay.
And I thought, my God, you know, was she being prepared for, you know, how her life was going to end?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kept on the expedition, and then it led me to one more memory. Joanne called me early one morning, a week before she died, and she said she was very upset because of a dream she had. She's in the middle of the road, and some trucks were running her over, and there was just so much blood. And there again, I don't have the answer to that. I don't have the mm-hmm. the exact answer to anything.
Mm-hmm.
I do know how to embrace the human journey. I do know how to get the most out of it for myself. And it's just being real, being authentic, and not afraid to be who I am, no matter what judgments or opinions are of me. I care what people think, but I can't make my decisions about what people think.
And based on that, yeah. Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
You just have to go forward.
Yeah, you do. And you know, appearances. It's really nice if somebody compliments me and says, "Oh, your hair looks nice," or I really like your clothes." And that's nice. That feels good. But I can't let that dictate my life. That's not mm-hmm. who I am. Nice clothes and so forth. So the one last thing I want to share with you, and you know, in the book, I cover chapters like letting go, living in the moment, strengthening your spiritual muscles, and all mm-hmm. kinds of different activities and exercises that, you know, that can be taken. But the one thing that was fairly recently, where she gave me the answer to something I asked her, and it may be the last thing I asked her to prove. I was visiting her grave at the cemetery, and I was just sitting there, and I said, "Joanne, are you really with me, or am I just making all this up so it'll make me feel better?" You know, because as a spiritual person, I don't know that I could have ever wished for anything more wonderful than what I've got today, my spiritual sense of life.
Yeah.
As a mother, a human mother, just like you are as a human daughter,
mm-hmm.
we miss them.
Absolutely.
You know, I'd love to have just one more hug.
Mm-hmm.
And that plays with me sometimes.
Yeah.
So anyway, I said, "So how do I know?" And so I'm driving back into my hometown, and as I go around a curve, there is a car all of a sudden coming straight at me on the road, very fast. And I had no, you know, there was nothing I could do. And I just knew that was the end of me. And then all of a sudden, for some reason, that car just totally turned to the right and ran off the road somewhere else and didn't hit me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Joanne, I need no more divine interventions. I believe you're with me. You don't have to prove anything else. That's the last time I'm going to ask you to make sure I know you're there." And I know she's there, Julia. It's just,
yeah.
mm-hmm. you know. So I've done an awful lot of talking.
Well, that's because it's your show. This is all about you tonight.
but I love questions and I love analogies and I love things like that. So that's what they're going to find in the book. My favorite.
And, you said like when, and that's usually how I start is like, you know, when did you first get into all this? And you kind of said it in the beginning is you really, it all started when this happened. I mean, really, Joanne got you into all this, didn't she?
Yes, she did. Yeah.
And,
she did.
Yeah.
You know, and she's giving me the answers to get me through it.
At the same time, yeah. Excuse me.
And, you know, and I wanted to make sure that I brought this in, too. I believe his name is John. Isn't he the author? I mean, the artist?
The artist, yes. The graphic artist, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. When I turned in the first manuscript, Redbirds are very special to me, and it's a special way Joanne and I connect. And so I haven't shared that with anyone. but there was nothing in the manuscript. And when the book came out, there's a huge red bird feather on a beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked you about that. And I said, how in the world? And you said, John just, what, listens to his heart?
It's intuitive. He somehow connects. It's like, I would just tell him, and I don't even, at that point, now we give him a little bit more information. I mean, he gets a little bit more of the description of the book, but at that point, we didn't give him very much at all. I would just talk to him about the book and what, you know, because he didn't get the manuscript. He didn't get that much at all. It would just be some description. And somehow he connects to you through me.
Okay.
You know, or through Joanne. Somehow he's doing it. He's doing it, but he's doing it through his heart, I'm sure. But it's an intuitive thing, and he just comes up with these beautiful covers. But yeah, when that cover came in, and it's, you know, this red feather, and I'm just like, okay, I don't get it, but okay. But it felt right. It was touching my heart. That's all I knew. And it felt like it was right. And so I was like, okay.
Wow. Well, it's like Joanne was saying, Mom, I bet you can't miss this.
Really?
I bet you know.
Like waving right in front of you.
Yeah, here I am. But it was interesting because it was a lonely red feather on a beach.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this one, I absolutely love it. Yeah. This cover, it's like I'm walking down this beach in a red dress.
Yeah.
And there's angelic sparkles all around and two sets of footprints.
Yes. Yeah. And you don't notice all these parts at first.
Uh-uh.
You have to look really close. And then all of a sudden I started noticing these different things. I said, oh my gosh, look at here, look at here, look at here. And it had all these different elements. And there's a glow around your head, and there's all these different things, and it's like, oh my gosh, look at this! It's like, this is perfect.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Well, somebody asked me. They said, I wonder how anybody that's read both books is going to interpret the difference in you, and he did.
Uh huh.
You know, perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely. So. How would you, that's a good question, how would you, well, actually, you've kind of said it, but I would like to hear your summary of it, summarize the difference in you.
Well, today, earlier, I did have to figure things out. I wanted to be prepared. I wanted mm-hmm. to be a very good person. I wanted to do good, but I wanted to be prepared. And I felt like if I was perfect, I wouldn't get into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted to be a good person, but I really needed to be perfect. And I still had this God in my head that was going to punish me if I didn't.
Yeah.
And now I don't. Now I live life as it comes. I live in the moment. I trust life. I don't have to figure anything out, and I don't have anything to prove. Now, that doesn't mean I'm still not going to get angry and scared and have all those human emotions, because I'm here to learn. If I didn't have that aspect of myself, I wouldn't, you know, wouldn't do me any good to be down here. But I've got a safe place within me that I can go to when I have those emotions, so or resources that I can go to, so that I don't have to react, gut level react. I can observe what's going on and respond how I know is good for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the difference right there. I'm responding to what's in front of me each moment at a time. And I know that the planning's not going to do a bit of good.
That's the truth.
You know, because for one thing, I got this brand new smartphone that I was so excited about. I was going to put the speaker on and all this stuff when you called. And then 30 minutes before you were going to call, you said that cell phones weren't any good because, and I could totally understand that.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, shoot.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I just felt very relaxed. When I go with the flow and don't expect or judge anything,
mm-hmm.
my life just unfolds, you know, my mission mm-hmm. unfolds. And I know that's, you know, Joanne's death, the one thing it did, I think, that gave me a big boost up my spiritual ladder was that it totally emptied out my mind. I didn't know what was real anymore.
Yeah.
And so I had to discover who I was from ground zero, and y'all got to watch me do that.
Yeah, so that's, yeah, we got to watch you, like you said, you start taking your first steps and go from crawling to stepping to... Now you're riding your bike.
I am riding my bike. I actually won two gold medals last weekend.
Fantastic.
In the
Look
senior
at you. Wonderful.
When I get angry or sad, I just pedal like hell.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Janie, how can people find you and reach you if they want to?
Okay, the easiest way, I've got a website. And it's www.janiewells.com, JANIEWELLS.com. And on that web site, you've got my Facebook pages, my email address, my blog. So you can reach me on every avenue that way.
Oh, that'd be great. Okay, and I'm hearing overwhelmingly, so I don't know who it is that's telling me this, but they're wanting me it's really important. Can anybody do this? Do other people have angels around them, and can they connect with them?
Yes, anybody can do this, and that's why I just give my experience to show it's possible. And everybody's going to have it in different ways. We all have guardian angels. We have all have many, many angels that we never even realized. And they can do this. But the first thing, and that's what I go through in the book, you got to learn how to let go. You know, you've got to go through certain stages of living in the moment and certain things like that. I can't tell you the truth that gets you through that, but I can give you the exercises and the questions that you can get yourself through that.
And that's why you have them in the book.
So, that's right.
Yeah. There you go. So that's what it's all about. So this is wonderful. So, and both of them are telling your journey, and we can see your growth through them, which is wonderful. It's always wonderful to see someone's growth, because then you can, and evolution, and then you're able to see your own that way and what you can do yourself.
Yeah.
Well, like I said in the beginning, I guess that's what that was about, was to show, and it'd be interesting to see if that came through the airwaves, that energy of love, because it was so strong here.
I was feeling it.
Oh, wonderful. So maybe
you had me crying.
Oh, good.
That's okay. It just relaxed me.
Well, see, yeah. That's what it was about.
Yeah, I felt it, Julia.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, well, I think we are at our time. We are very close anyway. We're probably within the minute anyway. There's one last thing. Okay, I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. I would like for you, there's you or Joanne or Summit, you have a message.
Yes,
that's what I thought. Okay.
Okay, and it's my very favorite message from Joanne.
Okay.
She says, if you want to live fully present in your life, embracing the joys and the sorrows, you must find the ways, the people, the places, the practices that support you in being all you truly are. Your journey within is the only real trip you take on this earth. No one else can see the world the way you see it. No one else can feel your life the way you feel it. Time here is an expedition using the maps drawn out by your soul. Strive to journey well with an open heart as your true self.
Wow, that is beautiful. It's so beautiful. And that is how we shall leave everyone tonight.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Janie and Joanne.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone. And I love you all. Oh, here we go again. It's coming strong. Okay. Oh, gosh. Love you all. So, and we'll see you again next week. Love you.
Love you.
Thank
you.
Good night.
Good night.